Amateur Radio Newsline, report 1926, with a release date of July 11th, 2014, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The Hawaii to mainland U.S. opens just after the 4th of July weekend. U-Cube 1 ham radio satellite successfully launched. A whole new set of amateur radio regulations to be introduced in Thailand. Hurricane watch nets activate for Hurricane Arthur. A United States lightship is the 300th registrant for the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend, and a look at the recent ham radio convention in Germany. All this and more on Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1926, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is Jim Davis, W2JKD.
The long-awaited West Coast to Hawaii ducting season has finally begun. This according to a posting on the VHF Reflector by Wayne Overbeck, N6NB. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, has the details.
Wayne Overbeck, N6NB, says that he first learned of the opening in a message from Gordon West, WB6NOA. According to West, the KH6 HME 2-meter beacon was booming in and the opening might last 2 days. As it was, N6NB said that it lasted much longer, with both the KH6 HME 2-meter and 70-centimeter beacon signals loud and clear at various points up and down the California coastline. Overbeck recorded the beacon as he heard it in Orange County, California, and posted it to YouTube. Here's a sample. According to N6NB, on Saturday, July 5th, KH7Y made the five-hour round trip from his home to the beacon site at the 8,000-foot elevation point on Hawaii's Mauna Loa volcano. He worked a number of California stations on 2 meters, 223.5 megahertz, and the 432 megahertz band with excellent signals. Here's a sample of N6NB's QSO with KH7Y at the KH6 HME station on 223.5 megahertz over a path of 2,505 miles.
15 watts on 223.5. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm running a transverter and about 100 watts out on 223.5. KH6 HME from N6NB, DN13. Over.
Gosh, too bad there's not more people around with these radios. You know, it's amazing. These antennas, I think, are about 14 elements. There's a pair of them up there stacked, and they're actually tuned up on 222.1, you know, when we used to have a beacon up here.
Meanwhile, three other Hawaiian stations worked the U.S. mainland from much lower locations. These were KH6 stroke, K6 MIO, KH6 SX, and WH6 XM. According to Overbeck, the duck between Hawaii and the U.S. mainland proved to be much like earlier ones. On the California end, it was low, perhaps as low as 1,000 feet ASL at times. But on the Hawaiian end, the duck centered somewhere near the beacon at about 8,000 feet. Stations at low elevations near Hilo were not nearly as loud as KH7Y. He was operating, signing KH6 HME in honor of the late Paul Lieb, who made this path famous. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, in the newsroom in Los Angeles.
N6NB adds that on Sunday afternoon, July the 6th, the KH6 HME beacons were still loud into Orange County in Southern California. At the same time, Victor Frank, K6FV, was hearing a 599 signal from the KH6 HME 2-meter beacon on a handheld transceiver in the hills above San Mateo in Northern California, overlooking the town of Half Moon Bay. Since then, other trans-Pacific openings are being reported, and we'll have more about those in next week's newscast. The UQ-1 ham radio satellite was successfully launched on Tuesday, July 8th from Kazakhstan. The U-Cube control team and radio amateurs across Europe awaited the satellite coming within range. Its 145.84 megahertz beacon signal was received by the satellite's control team at 1916 UTC. Signals have also been received from DX-1 and Tech EdSat, which rode to orbit on the same launch as UQ-1. The National Broadcasting and Telecommunications Commission of Thailand has approved new amateur radio regulations that the agency has been working on for almost 3 years. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, has details.
According to the Radio Amateur Society of Thailand, the new rules to govern amateur radio in that nation have been 3 years in the making. Some of the key provisions include opening of the 6-meter band from 50 to 54 megahertz, the expansion of 2 meters to 146.5 megahertz, and giving Thai advanced class license holders privileges that will allow power output levels up to 1,000 watts. Additional spectrum will also be authorized in the 160 and 80 meter bands, with more club stations and contest call signs to be issued as well. Other changes include easing restrictions on the sale of high-frequency radio gear that includes the 6-meter band, and the easing of type approval restrictions so that Thai radio amateurs will be able to purchase new models of transceivers. While the Morse exam will remain, it will become a reception-only test at 8 words per minute. Those who do not yet hold an amateur radio license will be permitted to operate under supervision at a club station. By way of background, there are 3 amateur radio license classes available to the public in Thailand. These are the basic amateur radio operator, who is permitted 100 watts out on 28 megahertz and 60 watts on 144 megahertz. This is followed by the intermediate amateur radio operator license with power output privileges of 200 watts, and the advanced amateur radio operator license with a full kilowatt of power now permitted. In reality, the Thai advanced license has been provided for in that nation's regulations since 1987, but it hadn't been activated until now. Also, there is an extra class license, but that is held only by the King of Thailand. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD reporting.
The new regulations were signed by the chairman of Thailand's National Broadcasting and Telecommunications Commission on June the 20th and will become effective within 30 days of that date. More information about amateur radio in Thailand is on the web at www.qsl.net/rest. International Amateur Radio Union Region 1 reports that Moldova has signed the Pan-European CEPT Novice and Class 1 Amateur Radio License Agreement. The CEPT Radio Amateur License Class 1 corresponds to the United States Extra and United Kingdom's Advanced and Full Licenses. The CEPT Novice license is closely compatible to the United States General and the UK Intermediate license. There's also a CEPT Entry Class license, which is equated to the United States Technician and United Kingdom Foundation class. However, Moldova is not joining in that entry-level system, at least not at this time. The United Kingdom's RCF Examination Committee has released its report on the amateur radio exams for 2013, and it shows fewer people passed than in the previous year. According to the published figures in 2012, there were 1,599 candidates that passed the United Kingdom's Foundation Class entry-level test. For 2013, that number dropped to 1,508. The committee also noted that pass totals for the United Kingdom Intermediate and Advanced Class licenses were also down as well. You can download the entire report in the PDF format at tinyurl.com/2013-UK-licenses. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Okinawa Amateur Radio Society Club Station, JR6YQF. The Hurricane Watch Net was activated twice during the recent storm known as Hurricane Arthur. The first activation came on July the 3rd as the storm was headed towards North Carolina's Outer Banks. It made landfall at 11:15 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time with a maximum sustained wind of 100 miles per hour, damaging homes and cutting off island communities from the mainland. Also activated was the VOIP Hurricane WatchNet, which uses local FM repeaters, Echolink, IRLP, to provide information to and from volunteer storm spotters along the storm's projected path.
As Hurricane Arthur continues to develop, the threat for sustained high winds may increase soon. The latest area forecast for maximum winds of 70 to 90 miles per hour with gusts to 110 miles per hour.
Arthur made the North Carolina coastline as a Category 1 hurricane and remained that way as it worked its way northward along the eastern seaboard. This accounted for a second activation on July 5th before Arthur deteriorated into a tropical storm as it neared Canada. Net operations on the high-frequency bands were on 14.325 megahertz and 7.268 megahertz, depending on propagation. The VOIP Hurricane WatchNet could be monitored on several Echolink nodes, IRLP, and other monitoring services worldwide. Both Skywarn and the United States and CanWarn in Canada were involved in this first hurricane call-out of the 2014 season. The FCC has affirmed a penalty of $15,000 against Gene Richard Salvador for operating an unlicensed FM radio station on the frequency of 89.5 megahertz in Miami, Florida. On March 26, 2014, the Enforcement Bureau's Miami office issued a $15,000 notice of apparent liability for forfeiture to Jean Richard Salvador for his alleged operation of an unlicensed FM radio station. This after its agents used direction-finding equipment to pinpoint its location. Then they performed a station inspection during which Jean Richard Salvador admitted that he turned the unlicensed radio station transmitter on and off at different times on multiple days, but claimed that an unnamed friend actually operated the station. But agents later found evidence on the internet identifying Jean Richard Salvador as the organizer and DJ for the unlicensed station marketing itself as Breeze FM 89.5. And as such, the FCC says that the totality of the evidence led the Enforcement Bureau to conclude that Mr. Salvador exercised control over the unlicensed station by turning off the transmitter and on the transmitter and operating it on several days. Now, based on this, on June 24th, the regulatory agency affirmed the fine and gave Jean Richard Salvador 30 days to pay in full. It also warned him that if the forfeiture amount is not paid within the period specified, the case may be deferred to the U.S. Department of Justice for further enforcement action. A telecommunications organization in Puerto Rico has been issued a proposed fine for interfering with aviation radar. Amateur Radio Newsline's Hal Rogers, KHCMD, has more.
The FCC has proposed a $25,000 notice of apparent liability against CMARR Incorporated of San Juan, Puerto Rico, for this apparently and willfully interfering with the Federal Aviation Administration weather radar in San Juan by operating a radio transmitter without a license. The matter goes back to the fall of 2013. That's when the FCC's Enforcement Bureau received a complaint from the Federal Aviation Administration. At that time, the FAA reported a signal centered on 5610 megahertz was causing interference to the terminal Doppler weather radar installation serving the San Juan International Airport. On November 13th and 18th, an FCC agent, using direction finding, identified the source of the transmissions on 5610 MHz as coming from the rooftop of a business in San Juan. On November 18th, the agent, accompanied by CMARR's owner, conducted an inspection of the installation and found that the transmission on 5610 was not present. The company's owner stated that the transmitter had been tuned away from 5610 megahertz minutes before the agent arrived. Now, in issuing the notice of apparent liability, the FCC said that given the risk to public safety created by CMARR's unlicensed operations, and the fact that the company had already received a warning for similar violations, that the proposed $25,000 penalty is warranted. I'm Hal Rogers, KHCMD.
CMAR Inc. was given the customary 30 days to pay the fine or file an appeal. The European DX Council 2014 conference will be held from September the 19th through the 22nd in southern France. The first part of the conference on the 19th to the 21st will take place in a village 50 miles northeast of the city of Nice, with the September 22nd conclusion in the city of Nice itself. More information can be found at the event's online blog at edxcnews.wordpress.com. DXers and contesters are invited to attend the 2014 Asia-Pacific DX Convention, which will take place November the 14th through the 16th at Osaka, Japan. In addition to presentations on recent DXpeditions, technical sessions, and other amenities, this year's convention will offer something unique. As Japan is where most of today's amateur radio equipment is developed, attendees will have the opportunity to join a tour of the ICOM factory and to participate in a technical session led by the ICOM HF design team. More information, please visit www.apdxc.org on the World Wide Web. Some names in the news. First up is astronaut Reed Weissman, KF5LKT, who's been active on the Twitter social network as well as the Eris space station ham radio gear. According to several news reports, Weissman has literally been tweeting from space about the planet we live on, describing what he sees from his vantage point high above the Earth's surface. Since he began his tweeting from the ISS, his number of followers has risen from 37,000 when he started to over 126,000 today. You can follow him on the web at twitter.com/astro_Reed. Delaware radio personality Jim Rash of WGMD-FM has been chosen to receive one of three annual Bill Leonard Awards from the American Radio Relay League. According to an article on the station's website, Rash's contribution consisted of a 2013 radio interview with local ham radio enthusiast Bill Duvenneck, KB3KYH of Milton, Delaware, where the discussion centered on the upcoming field day. The other two 2013 Leonard Award winners were Rich Luderman in the video category. Luderman is the chief meteorologist of Detroit's WJBK-TV, which aired a story titled Ham Radio Operators Play a Crucial Role During Weather Emergencies. The print category was shared by writer Kim Hoey and photographer Gary Amige of the Delaware News Journal for a story titled Calling Fans of Ham. The Bill Leonard Award, named in honor of the late CBS network president and radio amateur W2SKE, its purpose is to recognize journalists and media personalities who help to support amateur radio. This is Ham Radio News for today's radio amateur. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. A quick follow-up to our earlier story regarding a group of hams on the air from Newfoundland. This in the hope of garnering the exclusive Brendan Trophy for the first confirmed two-way QSO on 2 meters to Europe. Amateur Radio Newsline's Cheryl Lasik, K9BIK, has the latest.
Operating as VC1T on 144.155 megahertz, the signal from the Brendan Quest team using the FSK-441 transmission mode was heard and decoded by John Renio, G4SWX, in Suffolk, England. This on July 6 at 1341 hours UTC. The stations continue to try to make it a complete two-way contact for something over the next 4 hours, but nothing was heard back on this side of the Atlantic from G4SWX or any European station. Even if a two-way contact is not achieved, the team is eligible to be awarded the Brendan Plate. The Brendan Plate will be given for the first verified reception of a transatlantic signal on 2 meters in any mode and is part of the Brendan Trophy series of awards offered by the Irish Radio Transmitter Society. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Cheryl Essek, K9BIK, in Zion, Illinois.
We should know the results of this all-out attempt by the Brendan Quest team in time for the next week's newscasts. The United States Lightship has garnered the position of being the 300th registrant for the 2014 International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend operating event, as we hear from WIA newsman Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
The prestigious 300th registration goes to the lightship Columbia WLV604, operated by the Sunset Empire Amateur Radio Club, Whiskey 7 Bravo uniform. W7BU will be heard from the lightship's radio room. Now at Astoria in the state of Oregon, it once guarded the Columbia River Bar before being replaced by a lighthouse in 1979. The last operational U.S. West Coast lightship, the Columbia WLV604, is on the National Register of Historic Places and has many a guided tour. Registrations have come in so far from 36 countries in this annual fun event. The USA is in the lead with 53, including 14 first-time registrations, ahead of Germany 52 and Australia 51. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB of the WIA News in Australia.
International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend takes place this year on the weekend of August the 16th and 17th. More on the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend and how to register to take part in this event is on the web at www.illw.net. Broadband-Hamnet has announced a new firmware release in the form of an update to the original links list, WRT54G, GL, and GS gear. And for the Ubiquiti firmware, originally released for the 2.4 GHz ham band this past February. Now, with this publication, Broadband-Hamnet now supports the Ubiquiti M5 series hardware, giving hams the use of the 5.8 GHz band for mesh networking. Amongst the many new features is the ability to easily connect co-located nodes into clusters and then span the mesh across both ham bands. More about the new software is on the web, www.broadband-hamnet.org. F6HTJ, who operates the F5ZAL 2-meter propagation beacon in France, has announced the addition of the latest OPERA OP05 format to the system. OPERA is a free-running beacon system, not to be confused with the OPERA web browser. Rather, it's a transmission mode using upper sideband on-off keying that can be received by feeding recovered audio into a Windows-based decoding software. The OPERA signal from the F5ZAL beacon operates continuously on 144.474.5 upper sideband. It also sends Morse on 144.476 MHz. In both modes, it identifies by signaling F5ZAL plus the grid square locator JN12LL. Power output is 10 watts to the horizontally polarized big wheel antenna. Reception reports, please go to F6HTJ at his information found on QRZ.com. The Canton, Ohio Amateur Radio Club will celebrate the 2014 Pro Football Hall of Fame Festival by operating radio station W8AL from August the 1st through the 3rd. Listen out for W8AL on or near 7.265, 14.265, 21.365, and 28.365. QSLs go to Roger Gray, W8VE, 3506 21st Street, Northwest Canton, Ohio, 48708. Please include $2 to cover shipping and handling if you wish to receive a commemorative certificate. In DX, five operators will be active and using their home call signs from Kadok Island during the Radio Society of Great Britain's Islands on the Air contest, July 26th and 27th. QSL via their home call signs, direct or via the Bureau, or electronically using Logbook of the World. WM2W and N0TW will be active as C6AMW and C6ATW, respectively, from the Bahamas between August the 1st and the 4th. This is part of the 1010 Summer QSO Party. You can QSL via N0TW. DF1YP will be active stroke FO from Moria Island in French Polynesia between September the 12th and October the 8th. His operation will be holiday style, mainly on 20 and single sideband. QSL via his home call sign, director via the Bureau. Paper QSLs will be sent out in June of 2016 via the Bureau. And lastly, DJ4EL will be operational stroke 5Z4 from Lamu Island in Kenya between October the 4th and the 19th. Activity will be on 40 to 10 meters using single sideband. QSL via his home call sign, director via the bureau, or electronically via logbook to the world. And finally this week, according to several sources, the recent European Ham Radio Convention held in Friedrichshafen, Germany, is being deemed to be a major success. Attendance was up by some 1,800 convention goers over 2013. Specific numbers say that this year's crowd hit 17,100, which is a significant increase from 2013 when 15,300 showed up. One of those attending from the United States was CQ Magazine's kit-building columnist Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB. He was there with a group representing the Dayton Hamvention. Joe tells Amateur Radio Newsline that this year, the Maker World 2014 outing was held in parallel with the ham radio.
They added a maker fair in one of the halls. So you had a lot of the makers who were not only making radios and stuff, but they were also modifying computers and using 3D printers and all the interesting things that makers do. So that was a great addition to the convention.
According to K0NEB, the show attracted people from all over the world, and it was as much of a social gathering as it was a trade show.
I would say in the main exhibit hall, about 50% of the space is actually clubs and organizations, and it was a great way to get to know people from all over Europe and actually all over the world. There were clubs as far away as Thailand that had booths. I was in the DARA booth, which was the Dayton Amateur Radio Association. Of course, we were promoting the Dayton Hamvention and DARA.
All in all, K0NEB says it was a great experience that he tried to capture in another of his online sound and video presentations. You can share Joe's adventure at tinyurl.com/KZNEB-AT-ham-radio. More about the convention itself is online at tinyurl.com/Friedrichshafen-2014. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the South African Radio League, the Southgate News, Twit TV, Australia's WIA News, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF at the editor's desk, I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD in Vero Beach, Florida, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline, it's copyright 2014. All rights are reserved.